Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this joint seminar which has been put on by the Business Policy Committee of ICAS and RBS. Very warm welcome to you all. My name is Robert Patello. I'm one of the members of the Business Policy Committee. And what we're trying to do with this seminar is to help and perhaps lead RBS show what they're looking for, in order that companies can get some, SMEs can get some successful funding from the banks, or a successful outcome to their funding applications from the banks. And I hope that an additional outcome may well be that some of you who advise SMEs or manage SMEs will realize that there is actually still money available to be had from the banks if you go about it the right way. Before I introduce Robin Carson and his team, I'd like to just say a little bit about the Business Policy Committee. We're a committee of members plus one lawyer with representation across business, the profession, advisors, investors, representing members' views in advice to government and indeed trying to influence policy developments by government and responding to government consultations. Our key priority areas at the moment include corporate governance, better regulation, SME funding, and facilitating a private sector recovery. We welcome views on these issues, and if anybody wants to help or get involved with that, Alice Telfer, our secretary, stand up to Alice at the back. Please contact Alice. We are also doing a research project at the moment as to how much influence accountants do have with the funding process, and Michelle Cricket is handling that, and she will be very much interested in taking some views of people. So anybody who has some views on that, if they could contact Michelle afterwards as well. Now, following a breakfast event in London, which Stephen Hester spoke at, he very kindly put us in touch with some of his people in RBS, and we've had a number of meetings with RBS, and they have kindly suggested that one of the things they can do and help us with is putting on a seminar, and what they're looking for is funding. Some interesting statistics for you. 39% of potential applicants are discouraged from applying for new overdraft. Only 27% of overdrafts require security. Only 49% of applicants who applied for a loan got what they wanted. So there's a lot of improvement to be had here, and anything you can do to help improve these statistics would be most worthwhile. Now, I'd like to introduce you to Robin. Robin is Regional Director of Commercial Banking. That's the bit which has companies have turnover between 2 million and 25 million. And I believe covers the Central Belt of Scotland?
Yes.
Right. So with much. Yep.
Thank you very much, Robert. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm not quite sure if we were invited today or we invited ourselves, because in RBS now, we kind of have to invite ourselves to things because we're not usually the most popular of prospective guests, but it is very good to be here today. Just in terms of introducing, Robert's introduced myself, which is great. I've got Lorna Ann Vernon, who's head of our credit department for Scotland, and Ronnie Stokes, a recently appointed lending manager. Jerry Coyle was supposed to be with us, but Jerry's a reputation of being a hard-hitting centre-half, 50-year-old centre-half, but he's supposed to be injuring other people, but he actually got injured last night and is in hospital. So that hasn't quite worked out. But anyway, I think at the heading here, and growing the lending book safely is unquestionably our number one priority at the moment. With base rate at 0.5%, you know, it's impossible to make money in the banking sector on the deposit book, clearly with 0.5% being your benchmark. So the lending side of the balance sheet, you know, takes on massive significance for all the banks at the moment because of the exceptional situation that we find ourselves in with base rate. So, you know, lending is absolutely the number one priority at the moment. We simply cannot make money in a sustainable business model going forward if we're not lending. But the word safely in the caption is the really difficult piece. I mean, a lot of my time is spent, you know, I get impassioned managers coming to me with a case which I probably don't know that well, and there's usually a question about, is this supportable? And I guess what I've got there is, these are the sort of, you know, six things that I kind of look at to quickly get to the hub of a case that I maybe don't know that well. So I'm looking at, the first two are heavily interlinked, you know, what are the financial risks, what are the business risks? So, is, you know, with the financial risks, you know, how highly leveraged is the business? And under business risks, what is the sustainable cash flow from that business? So you can very often get a highly leveraged business, but with a fantastic sustainable cash model. So that sort of model works pretty well. But clearly, when you get cases where you've got a hugely leveraged business and a business that's not thrown out a lot of cash, you've obviously got a difficult situation. And at the moment, there's probably a lot of businesses in that position at the moment. Does the SME have a USP? How does it differentiate? You know, just in terms of what the business does. I think in our book, we've got a lot of old traditional industries there, a lot of old traditional businesses where defining a USP is pretty tough. And a lot of times, businesses just seem to default, you know, to reduce price, to keep customers happy. There's a sort of infernal erosion of margin year after year, which is difficult. So, you know, trying to have a USP is a difficult thing. It's an easy thing to talk about. Some of the sexier ends of the, you know, of industry, the life sciences, etc. It's something that's doable. But we have a lot of stuff in there that is old traditional business where the model's become a little bit tired. So it is an issue. Quality of management team speaks for itself. Risk management. A lot of our MDs are salespeople. You know, I would say in the SME space, that, you know, a lot of people running SMEs have got a sales background, and balancing that risk and having mitigants for risk is not something that is readily available for discussion. And I think, you know, people that manage their risk really well and talk about it at meetings with us, it does kind of stand out. The last thing I think is obviously the CFADs, which, you know, cash available for debt service. Obviously, I'm speaking to a room of accountants, so I don't want to get myself into a hugely technical area on cash flow, because you guys will know that far better than I do. But cash available for debt service, to me, it's the best overall measure of affordability. And it's something that customers don't tend to talk about. You know, it's something that I'm astounded if someone comes to a meeting with a bank and wants to talk about a CFADS number. It just tends not to happen. It tends to be EBITDA, it tends to be a bland profit number, which, you know, a paper profit's fine, but I think the big difficulty we have at the moment is translating a paper profit into actual cash. This one pager is something that I like using personally. I think it's very simple. It gives you a great insight to what's happening in the business. If you can get 2 or 3 years together to show what the trend has been, that one-page CFADS, for me, is very effective. It shows exactly what's happening to the cash. You can quickly see what the working capital cycle's doing. And then you've got your three big outgoings, corporation tax, capex, and dividends, just to see where exactly the cash is going. Personally, I think the average SME business is really weak on this stuff. And to be honest, I would say we've been pretty weak in that stuff as well, historically. Our average relationship manager, I don't think we've drilled into that sufficiently well to have, you know, a really challenging discussion with SMEs around that. What I've done is I've just done a couple of worked examples here, live cases that we've been involved with recently, imaginatively named ABC Limited. The first one is a business that's in white goods. A business that's been, you know, growing its sales ledger fantastically well over a sort of 5-year period. Sales going from something like 9 million to 23 million over a five, six-year period. EBITDA 900k. I would say the EBITDA has probably hovered between 600 and 900k for probably the last 4 or 5 years. But when you look at the CFADS paper there, you quickly see that the working capital cycle's got a negative outflow of about 1.8 million. And you see three major outgoings: corporation tax, capex, and dividends. And you, and the net position in ABC is a negative cash flow of 1.6 million. Now, that's obviously, it's an extreme example, but the business in this particular instance were working on the basis that it's doing very well. Sales is going up. EBITDA is at an impressive level. We've also got other banks chasing this business because their business development teams are looking at their database and they're seeing a 900k EBITDA. So they're courting this business as prospective rebanking opportunity. So when we start raising a difficult discussion with ABC around, you know, a major cash flow problem here, the customer doesn't really buy that, you know, and so we've been locked in what I would describe a really difficult discussion around, you know, what I see as a significant issue. Obviously, the stock there stands out. So in terms of ABC, customers potentially overtrading, working capital cycle strangling the business, stock levels out of control, and customer paying a high corporation tax on a paper profit that they didn't have the cash to meet. I think historically, one of the main criticisms I've got of ourselves is that we haven't really challenged customers, you know, particularly hard in these areas. We've been pretty subservient to customers, especially in the good period, where losing a customer is probably extremely bad news for us, and managers have been, you know, very reticent about putting a relationship at risk and having that difficult discussion. But in this particular instance, you know, we've obviously tackled this one pretty hard. We've tried to really push the customers to get some of that stock on a sale. Customers adamant that stock is fully represented correctly in the balance sheet at the correct value. There is absolutely no way that is the case. So we pushed that pretty hard and eventually got some traction around that. We introduced invoice finance facility and did 85% of debtors, which in a rising turnover profile that this company was in was quite a positive move. We did some asset finance to try and release some cash. We also insisted that the customer re-injected some of the equity that he'd taken out over the last 3 or 4 years. And despite the fact that this business was a 20 million plus business, it had actually a very small one-man band accountant. And I'm not decrying that in any way, but there was no input in that situation from either the internal FD or the external accountant. So we were pretty much a lone voice in that situation in terms of tackling that, you know, cash flow issue. And initially, we're probably very much the bad guys in that situation. So, a difficult case. The customer, you know, has kind of revamped things. They've brought in a new FD, and that's been a great move. They've also started introducing CFADS as an internal KPI in their sort of board discussions. We were able to lend a bit of money, albeit it was a difficult decision, because clearly when you look at that profile in terms of the cash outflow, it's a really dangerous situation. That was an acute problem in terms of cash flow, and we had to sort that. But that profile, the reason that I put that case up, it's an extreme example, but there's a lot of customers where the numbers are a lot smaller in our books, say businesses turning over 2 to 3 million, who have the same fundamental overtrading profile. The numbers are really extreme in that one, and thankfully we've not got hundreds of those cases, but we've got a lot with that sort of profile in our books at a slightly smaller level, turning over say 2 to 3 million, and it's a difficult situation to tackle, because, you know, the customer was threatening to rebank. In the midst of that debate that we were having, the main thing we were also defending was customers wanting to rebank, because someone had been in from another bank saying, look, you know, you've got 900k EBITDA, great business, we want to bank you. And so you've got a completely contrasting view of the safety of the business. So a difficult situation. The second one, slightly different case. Again, a good solid EBITDA, 800k. DEF Limited, they're in the vehicle hire, plant hire game. No real working capital issue per se in that one, so it's a reasonably solid position. CFAD's number coming out at 160, so a positive cash flow, but in this particular instance, the customer were very big users of asset finance from a number of different suppliers. So our Lombard people did some of the debt, but they had four or five providers. And the difficulty for us in that one was that we didn't have full visibility on the assets that we're buying. So the customer was buying a lot of assets and taking the amortisation profile over a very short period, a two-year period, when the asset had probably about a 4 or 5 year working life. So the result of that is that there was a massive disconnect between the CFAD's number of 160k and the actual annual debt servicing cost was something like 680k. So clearly, in that instance, as I say, a massive disconnect between the cash that's available to service the debt and the actual cost of that debt. So again, quite a challenging case. A strong performing business. As I said earlier, the difficulty for us in this one was getting visibility and control over that asset finance. Rising turnover as well. Business was fundamentally a good operating model. What we did was that we tried to persuade the customer that the asset finance policy was flawed, just the buying policy of the assets, and also probably the depreciation policy and also the amortisation policy. We introduced Lombard to refinance the assets over a longer term. They undertook some asset disposal which freed up some cash, and also they also tightened the debtor collection. There was a bit of a fallout between the FD and the MD at the critical period. We were perfectly happy. The FD had been a reasonably good supporter and had a good relationship there, but there was a fallout and so there was a change. But that was a good outcome in that we were able to, despite the seemingly difficult position under the CFAD, we were able to put some money out there and refinance the assets over a longer period. That type of scenario, again, for us is not uncommon, where if a customer is using multiple asset finance providers, obviously we are not in total control of our own destiny. We're only a part of that picture, and sometimes it can take a while until you to actually unravel where the cash is going and whether or not there is actually a shortfall. So just a final wrap up for me. I'm conscious of my time. I guess what I would be throwing out, and obviously interested to get your views later on, I think too many SMEs decisions based on EBITDA alone. I think the term I would use, a paper profit rather than a cash profit. Very often EBITDA not translating into cash, and worryingly, in a lot of cases, not a lot of debate around it within the boardroom of the SME business. It's worrying when it comes to an annual review bank meeting, where a cash hole is something that's tabled and it's a shock, and it very often is. To be honest, it is very often a shock to the people in terms of where that cash is going. Over trading, probably in today's market, not maybe just as big a problem as it was 4 or 5 years ago, but it is still there. And we have got a number of businesses, even at a smaller scale. I know Ronnie's looking at business banking side, where obviously the numbers are smaller, but it is still the same fundamental principle. Stock control is a difficult one. I think we see a lot of cases where stock, we certainly feel that there is a lot of obsolescence in that stock, and it's always usually a great debate with customers around it. It's very difficult. We don't know their business as well as they do. But and CFADs, I think, just in terms of that cash flow, in terms of just measuring that cash flow, is seldom a discussion point from the customer, I would say. And I think we've been really guilty over the years ourselves of relying on the EBITDA as the mechanism for judging how sound the business is. So we're guilty of that as well. And it was a sort of major re-education process within our RMs at the moment and credit department to look at the kind of CFAD side of things much more stringently as a key mechanism in making the all-important lending decision. And I think finally, I was speaking to one of your members earlier, that I think we have bred a generation of relationship managers who are pretty subservient to customers. You know, we've target mechanisms over the years have always been based on growing the book, trying to hit targets, and that usually means not falling out with customers, because if you start losing customers, it makes it very difficult to hit previous numbers. If you're losing customers, obviously it's 10 times harder trying to replace that business with something new. So I think we need to challenge constructively more, especially in the difficult market that we all find ourselves in. So it's just a few thoughts around the cash flow for me. I'm interested to get your own thoughts and any questions or views that you have later on, what you see out in the market. But essentially for me, at this point, I'll just hand over to Lorna.